And welcome, friends. It's Friday. Yeah, we made it through another week. You and I together. How much fun can we have? Okay, so the Buffalo News, members of the Newspaper Guild, are doing a byline strike. And we're joined right now by Sandra Tan, who was, she is the face and the voice of the union in this situation. Sandra, first of all, just could you explain to us the purpose of the byline strike and what you hope to accomplish?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. So first of all, a byline strike is a really drastic measure for our union to take. We haven't taken one like this in possibly going on, you know, 2 decades now. But the reason that we take our names off of our copy, off of our photos, off of our graphics, is so that people ask questions. When they open up the paper today and they're like, huh, what's going on? Why am I not seeing any bylines? They'll go investigate. And when they investigate, they'll understand that there are issues with the paper and its new owner. And so what we're trying to do is raise awareness by making sure that the tens of thousands of people who get the paper notice that something's different about the paper and start to make inquiries to find out why.
But you, I guess what I don't understand, Sandra, you are a known name. You are a talent. You are a brand. And aren't you kind of eroding your own brand by removing your name from your work?
Well, every reporter, I will admit, takes great pride in putting their name on their work. So it's a great personal sacrifice for us to remove it for any period of time. But if we had left our names on our work and you guys got the same paper you normally get with everyone's names in it, how would you have known that anything was different or wrong?
Well, I think people are aware by virtue of the news coverage that you guys generated yesterday that there are issues between the union and the new ownership. What specifically is the new ownership doing? Enlighten people as to why you guys are upset.
Sure. So Lee Enterprises bought us in March of last year. In February, we began negotiating with the company for a new contract. They immediately tried to strip all of our job security protections so that they could lay off anybody for any reason and anybody they want. They want to outsource all of the jobs in 3 different departments at the paper, including all of our page designers and copy editors. Those are the people who make sure that mistakes don't get in the paper. They're also the people who lay out our pages. Our page designers are some of the best in the world. They're like 2-time semifinalists for World's Best Design Newspaper from the Society of News Design. So we're very proud of the way our paper's laid out. They want to send us to a cookie cutter hub in the Midwest. They want to send our customer service work to call takers in Mexico. And they want to freeze our pension, even though our pension is overfunded thanks to the very wise investing skills of our prior owner, Warren Buffett. So the pension doesn't cost them anything, but they still want to freeze it so that we don't have any retirement security. I mean, these are all very serious things, and they don't just affect the people who work at the Buffalo News. They affect the whole community. I mean, I realize not everyone reads the Buffalo News every day. Not everyone thinks that everything that they read in the paper is what they want to read. But the truth of the matter is we are the largest, most dominant major daily paper for Western New York. And it should matter to this community that an Iowa-based company is coming in after, you know, saying that, you know, they were going to be a good and responsible owner. And here they are siphoning jobs out of Western New York and trying to find ways to destroy our contract protections so that they can get rid of even more people down the future. In the future, I mean, that's just all bad.
Ms. Sandra, given the current media business scape, are you really surprised? Because, you know, I've been at this game for 40 years, and this is a constant theme, is the shrinking availability of jobs, the shrinking monetary remuneration, the shrinking benefits, the shrinking, you know, pensions or 401ks, whatever kind of benefit you have, across media land, radio, TV, newspapers. Isn't this basically simply a function of the market and the competition from, well, the net?
Yeah, I mean, I would point out to your callers who have said that we're an antiquated delivery system. We do have a website. I mean, it's updated like practically every 10 minutes. So it's not like they've got no other place to get news if they don't get the physical paper. But yes, you're right. Times, you know, things have, especially for newspapers, they have become difficult. But what I would tell you is the Buffalo Newspaper Guild has had a very long history of coming to the table and negotiating with management for ways to save money. We have come to the table to talk with them about ways to save money on health care. We came to the table in 2018 when they wanted to get rid of 18 people in our newsroom. You know, we negotiated with the company to make that happen. Last year, when Lee Enterprises bought us, you know, they announced that they wanted to furlough everybody for 2 weeks. At the time, the Buffalo Newspaper Guild, you know, could have just said no, but we didn't. You know, we have always been a very reasonable union. We have sat at the table with the company. We allow the company to furlough all of our members for a 2-week period. That was hard for us. But you can't say that we were unreasonable, that we don't understand the business model, that we don't want the Buffalo News to succeed, because we do. Obviously, a healthy Buffalo News benefits everybody, including those of us who still work here. But not for a minute do I think that the proposals, or does anyone from the Guild leadership team think that the proposals that are being put forth by Lee Enterprises are being done in the best interests of this community? Because that's just not true.
Well, like any other media company, they're out to make money. I mean, honestly, they don't care about the well-being of the community. They're about shareholders and value and everything like that. What do you say? I mean, I have to presume, I mean, a lot of people in media have seen this happen. Ad revenues, you know, fell to practically nothing during COVID, and they're kind of slow on the uptick. Does that make your position a little more difficult?
Well, I think that someone needs to be standing up for the community and saying this is more than just a widget we're making here at the Buffalo News, right? I mean, this is more than just an ordinary product. It's a product that reflects the values, needs, and news here in this community. So at some point, what the community wants and what the community needs should also matter. If you let an Iowa-based company dictate to you what they think you deserve, then, you know, you're not going to get the product you really do deserve.
Sandra Tan is with us. I mean, I wish we had more time. I know that you're
you
tight.
Actually have to get back to work, Tom.
Yeah, I know. I understood you had short time. Thanks for talking to us, Sandra. And I sincerely wish you guys the very best. I hope things work out for you.
I hope so, too. And I hope that people are understanding of the Byline strike and that it causes them to ask questions. If I could just make one last pitch, I would encourage everyone to go to our website, protectlocaljournalism.com. We have a petition there that we would love folks to sign. Regardless of whether or not you think that the Buffalo News is something that you agree with every day of the week, I think we can all agree that protecting the local newspaper from people who want to siphon jobs out of it is something that's worth defending.
All right, Sandra Tan, thank you very much. She is the voice of the Newspaper Guild at the Buffalo News. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm going to have to disagree with Sandra about something. Ownership of a media enterprise, whether the ownership actually lives in Buffalo or is in Iowa or is in Philadelphia, it is part of their investment portfolio. They are out for maximum return on investment. And I mean, I hate to say it, but that's the real world. I think Sandra Tan is right. This Iowa-based company, they don't really care about Buffalo, New York. They're out to make as much money as they can on their investment. But, you know, contrary-wise, we've seen Buffalo owners, and they have exactly the same concerns. I mean, they live in Western New York, and they've got exactly the same concerns about making money off of what they put money into. I respect from where Sandra is coming. Look, we're competitors and all that stuff, but I hope they can work things out. I do hope that there is a newspaper, although I do not believe the current business model with newsprint is workable in the long term. And frankly, in the radio and TV business, outsourcing has been going on for a long time. I mean, we have cut local jobs and we have outsourced certain elements of our business because, you know, again, I mean, be under no illusion. And we're here to make money. I mean, any business is here to make money. Your bank exists to make money. Your pharmacy exists to make money. Your hospital exists to make money. It make it a world go round, in the words of Peter Griffin. Maybe in a better world, it would be different. But, you know, we are a profits-driven society. And when you look at your 401k every day, you're just as capitalistic as anybody else. You want maximum return on your investment, just like I do. But again, I wish the people at the news the very, very best. I don't know that the business model's workable. It is Bowerly. We have heard from Sandra Tan. I'm glad she called in. I was happy to be able to give her some time and explain the reason for the byline strike. But, you know, looking outside the world of journalism, how many of you have been in this situation? I mean, how many of you in heavy industry? How many of you in light industry? How many of you in offices across Western New York have had these same kinds of internal situations happen? Where, wait a minute, we used to have five people in the office, now we have two. And the media business is no different than any other business that you're going to find yourself working in. You know, people start businesses to make money. They don't go into businesses to lose money. And making money, you want to make as much as you can. You got to keep your investors happy. And unfortunately, I mean, in an idealistic world, journalism would be an exception. But we're no better and no worse than any other field of endeavor. And no, I would not advise anybody to get into media. I have had a very successful 40-year career so far. I have never been fired, which I don't even believe, but it's true. Never been fired. I would be lying to you if I told you that there wasn't a tremendous element of luck involved. And I'm sorry, but luck, or whatever you want to call it, it's a big part of anybody's success. You know, Sandy Beach, very successful radio career. But frankly, you know, we're the exceptions to the rule. And Sandy obviously retired, but, you know, it's let me just say this. For anybody considering this as a line of work, I urge you to reconsider this as a line of work, okay? I really do. Strongly say you should reconsider this. Now, if you get into it, if you get into any profession, and by the age of 30, let's say you've got 7 years on the job, and you're not seeing any forward progress, economic progress, or career advancement, you got to go out and do something else, okay? I've seen the great tragedy, and I don't mean to be getting off the Buffalo News topic here, but I think, you know, what I have to say is important. The great tragedy that I've seen in this business is people in their 40s and 50s and even in their 60s who have stuck it out making really bad money, working really bad hours, waiting for the big break that just never comes. If you're going to make it in this business, you're going to know by the time you're 30 whether you're going to make it in this business. There will be some exceptions to that. But I think that's probably true with just about any line of human endeavor. You know, if you're not making forward progress, you need to reevaluate. And there's no shame in switching professions at all. But anyway, forgive my soliloquy. It was somewhat pathetic, but. All right, welcome. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, if you're in Bemis Point and you've been told to evacuate because of rising waters, if you're not too busy, give me a call. I'd like to talk to you. I don't like hearing that at all. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And again, thanks to Sandra Tan of the Buffalo News. And, you know, look, I mean, the Buffalo News, they have a lot of people with a lot of years invested in this market. And in this business, we call that market equity, okay? And it's very hard. Well, it's not really that hard to define. It's just that if you're around someplace long enough, people hear about you. That's market equity. So, I mean, they've got a lot of people there who have market equity. I understand what Sandra Tan was saying about the reason for the byline strike, but I do not believe that it is an effective tool in getting a negotiation to move in your favor. I mean, I hate to say it, but in the media business right now, the ownership and the management, and the management's under pressure from ownership, they hold most of the cards, okay? It is a buyer's market in this field, okay? And that's, again, forgive me for saying this over and over again, but whether it's the Godfather series, The Sopranos, or Deadwood, one of the constant themes of humanity is he who produces, or she, who produces revenue for the boss has a job. He or she who is seen as a liability and not as a producer is at risk of not having a job. And unfortunately, that's business 101. You don't have to go to Wharton to figure that out. Just watch those shows. All right, let's go to some more calls on WBEN. Here is Jay in Amherst. Jay, hello. Thank you for holding. I appreciate it.
Done.
Jay, please, go ahead.
Oh, great. Okay. A year ago, when they sold the Buffalo News, I did some research, and I wanted to share it. I wish I had done so before Sandra got on. Warren Buffett, you know, smarter man than me. I don't know how you feel about him, but I tried to understand what he was doing. So Berkshire Hathaway sold the company, the Buffalo News, and a few other news companies. But when I looked into it, I figured out they never really sold it. It was a transaction on paper. So they sold it to a company that was already in debt to Berkshire Hathaway. So this company had been in years of restructuring debt owed to Berkshire Hathaway, and Warren Buffett gave all the newspapers to this holding company for additional debt. So they didn't pay cash. It's not like they own anything. They actually just own a big IOU to Warren Buffett. So it sounds a little weird, but the gist is that holding company has to pay Warren Buffett, you know, and Berkshire Hathaway $50 million a year for the next 7 years. So,
I mean, what you're saying, I don't have the ability to check everything you're saying live on the air, but, you know, obviously it sounds like you've done a little bit of research on this. So, I mean, what you're saying is that this was a more of like a paper transaction than a real world transaction?
Yeah.
To offload debt?
It was not paid like, oh, hey, we think the Buffalo News is worth, you know, $50 million and we're going to give you $55 million to buy it.
So, okay, at the end of the day, according to your research, and I got to take you at your word on this, is Warren Buffett still the guy calling the shots from the Oracle of Omaha?
Well, and, you know, I would like to suggest to Sandra, as they, you know, plug for community journalism, this should all go back to him and Berkshire Hathaway. I mean, that's where they should direct their efforts, because the holding company now has to pay $50 million in profit. So everything that they can squeeze out of these news organizations just goes to Berkshire Hathaway. And then if Berkshire Hathaway doesn't recover all their money, they can write it off as unpaid debt. And then it turns out Berkshire Hathaway now owns all of the real estate. So not only does the company have to pay $50 million a year for the profit of the papers, they also have to pay rent. And Berkshire Hathaway gets to keep all the real estate holdings from like 40 newspapers or whatever it was.
Man, you really put your heart and soul in it. Maybe you ought to be a reporter at the Buffalo News.
Well,
I mean, this is kind of mind-blowing. But, you know, here, let me give you a mind-blowing stat, Jay. Back in the 1990s, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, back in the 1990s, the Buffalo News was generating $1 million a week profit.
Wow.
$1 million a week profit in the 1990s. But, you know, the competition for the dollar in advertising is it's extreme. It is absolutely, it is so, you have no idea how competitive it is. You've got, you've got about, I don't know, 50 different agencies and organizations all chasing the same nickel.
Well, and you guys do a great job. I mean, you provide content. You update your news, your website all the time. You got interviews. If I want to get a little in depth with who's making the news, you guys have the interview, you know, uploaded. I don't see the Buffalo News providing like what they call content. You know, they might have some journalism, but you know, Rod Watson isn't out at a parade or a protest going live. You know, I mean, So who's consuming it? An older population that doesn't, you know, and other people that don't want to pay for a paper at their door.
Here's the conundrum. The older audience seems to be more newspaper centric. Number one, they're dying off. Number two, typically older people are on a fixed income. So if they have to cut, you know, they got to choose between heat and a newspaper, guess what they're going to choose? You're right. I mean, the Buffalo News has a decent website. I'm not going to take that away from them. And I've said this many a time. I mean, probably makes my bosses tear their hair out. But I thought years ago we should have teamed up with the newsroom at the Buffalo News, established a partnership with them, and I think it would have made everybody a hell of a lot more money. But you know, what do I know? I'm just a schnook. Thanks very much. I'm glad you called. I appreciate your research, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that guy put a lot of time into that. I'm presuming everything he said is accurate, but it sounds like, frankly, a lot deeper than I'm able to understand. We'd better get the financial guys to explain that because it's beyond me, you know? Let's go to, if you saw the way I spent money when I go out, you'd understand I'm not to be trusted with it. Let's go to Brad in Williamsville. But I have a good time, damn it. Brad, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Brad.
Hey, so I'm calling in because I'm a 40-year-old and give you an aspect on that end of it.
All right, yeah, because we went through a period during this show, and I can't believe we're doing the whole show on this, but we went through a period where I said everybody calling is 50 years old and older. What does that tell you about the Buffalo News' future? So you, being younger, talk to me about it.
Well, I mean, the problem comes in. I started out, it was one of my first jobs at the Buffalo News. I grew up with it. It was great. But we live in a I want everything right here, right now world, which is a whole nother subject. But you get your news 30 seconds after it happens. You're not waiting a day or till you get home. And they can't sustain it.
I think there might have been a miscue when Sandra Tan was talking about the antiquated distribution system. She did mention the internet, but when I talk about the antiquated distribution system, I'm talking literally about the print edition, the newsprint edition of the Buffalo News. That business model, in my opinion, is outdated because one of the reasons is everybody wants everything immediately. And newspapers are not about speed. They used to be about content and depth and dimension. And another thing I would say to the Buffalo News, I say this respectfully. I mean, we've got our biases. I mean, Bellavia's biased. I'm biased. Beamer's biased. Mazurowski. We've got our biases as talk show hosts, okay? But if I were told, hey, Tom, make the Buffalo News a going concern, First thing I'd do would be to try to be more inclusive of the right and Republicans and conservatives. You know, because I'm telling you, I honestly believe that extreme political talk radio is dying. It will die. You have to offer more than only a daily diet of extreme right-wing politics.
Oh, I agree totally with you, Tom. I mean, the writing's been on the wall for 10 years that print news has been going out the window. And you cannot be a biased media outlet and sustain any type of news. I mean, I want to hear both sides so I can make an intelligent decision. I don't want to hear one side of an argument.
Oh, I do, as long as I agree with it. I'm not going to lie.
I'm always right as well.
Yes, of course. It's a syndrome we have, right man syndrome. Okay, but what did you think of what Sandra Tan had to say? And I'm really glad she joined us. And, you know, we didn't attack her. It was a very civil conversation. And like I say, I want the people at the Buffalo News to have good jobs and thrive and succeed. I take zero joy from other people not living their best lives.
Oh, I can understand where she's coming from in her gripe that, you know, they want to be treated correctly. But if I was them, I'd be looking for another job. So,
but see, this is the thing. Look, one of the greatest blessings I have in my life is the circle of friends that I have. And, you know, we're talking no Indian chiefs, like the guy said yesterday, but, you know, pretty much every different endeavor of human conception is represented. A lot of doctors, a lot of lawyers, a lot of cops. I'm a cop magnet. It's just the way life works. But I don't know anybody who is saying, hey, you know, my workplace is perfect. Wow, they just increased their contribution by 401k. They gave out big bonuses. We get a gold watch at retirement. Nobody is saying these things. Nobody. I mean, we live in a highly competitive marketplace.
And if you don't like your job or your employer, then, well, find out elsewhere to work.
Well, this is true. I thank you very much for the call. But, by the way, let me just tell you something. You know, we've got a labor shortage. I'm not going to name names of companies or people. I've heard this week about two people who thought they were in long-term jobs. They thought the grass was greener on the other side. They left long-term jobs. The one went back to a long-term job, lost all seniority, all right? All seniority was lost, all the years of service lost, and then but was rehired. The other one, they didn't want that person back. Like, you quit us once, we're done with you. So, you know, you got to look before you leap. Don't be impetuous. Look, patience is not my strong suit. But as far as, you know, your life and your career and your income, it does pay to be circumspect. You thought I was going to say circum something else, huh? Thank the man and the woman who helped me and Ramsha, the owner of Johnny's Village Cleaners. We saved a baby blue jay today. Thing was learning how to fly. It was in the middle of the road. And these two people that I heard yelling, I thought they were having a fight at first. And then I looked and I realized they're trying to get the baby blue jay into cover. And then we got the blue jay into cover. All right. We steered the blue jay into cover and concealment. And Mama Blue Jay thanked us. She gave us that blue jay shriek after her baby was rescued. So that was kind of a feel-good story. Let's go to Nancy in East Aurora. You're on WBEN. Welcome.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Just a couple comments. So the one on Sandra, I think they live in an elitist bubble, because if they don't realize that this has happened to a lot of people, my husband, it happened to twice. Company comes in, buys you out, you're gone.
Well, look, this has been, you know, there was a book, The Deindustrialization of America. It was put out in the 1980s. And one of the things, there was a point that came from that book is that, you know, people would come in, they'd buy companies, and then they would eviscerate the very reasons the companies were attractive to buy. So, okay, it's an elitist bubble. They don't realize this is happening all over, and they should not feel special. I mean, are you saying that?
I don't want somebody to lose their job, obviously.
No way. I don't either.
it's not a fun thing. So after it happened twice to my husband, he said, that's it, I'm starting my own business. He was in business for 20 years. He said, I can't get laid off unless I lay myself off.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're always the last to get paid when you do that.
Definitely. Well, COVID took care of that. But anyway, the other thing is my daughter is 23, and we haven't had the paper for over 20 years. So she's never really seen it, but she always used to say, why does Grandma have to go home and read the paper? I said, I don't know. She likes to read propaganda. What can I tell you?
Oh, my God.
That's why we stopped reading it.
Okay, I understand. A couple of good points, Nancy, I think. I'm glad you called. Thank you. Have a great weekend, huh? Yeah, you know, and again, folks, we're competitors, all right? Make no bones about it. We compete for the same ad dollars. We compete for audience, not going to lie. But I sincerely, sincerely wish the people at the Buffalo News the best of luck. I want them around. I really do. Now, do I think it could be a much better operation and more inclusive? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But for the record, you know, just so we're clear, I don't wish bad things on anybody. Well, maybe just one person. I don't wish bad things on people, all right? I don't wish any bad thing on any competitor whatsoever. So I hope they can work it out, and I hope they emerge stronger and better for it. But I got to tell you, the media scape has changed so much. It's nothing short of tectonic in the past 10 years, and I've been doing it for 40. Thanks to Pasquale Maggiore for a great job today. Tom Puckett in the newsroom, Alan Harris in traffic, and Mr. Puckett and WBEN's Evening News next.